Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively back in the homestead here for the home stretch of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill, Window Nation, where it's still buy two, get two free, 866-90-NATION, and our friends at the Restaurant Association of Maryland, getting ready for Restaurant Week, getting closer. September 16th, it begins. Go out, support your local restaurants. I've been Eastern Shore, Western Shore, back in the Middle Shore. We'll be in Howard County. We'll be in Anne Arundel County this week, and we're also going to be out in Carroll County. We're going to be in Eldersburg on Wednesday at Libertadores in the afternoon. John Maroon's going to join us, tell some old Cal Ripken stories. We're going to have some crab cakes. We're going to drink some beer over at 1623 Brewing out in Eldersburg. Tell some old Vince Bagley stories, which I'm looking forward to. Then on Friday, we're going to be in Westminster at Rock Salt Grill. And last but never least, and first announcement of this, closing the tour on the 30th at Costas in the morning with our next governor, Wes Moore, also going to be joined by Mickey Coachella, who I rocked out with at Child's Play on Saturday night at the reunion, as well as Pam Wood. No one covers the State House and the state of Maryland in politics better than Pam. I ran into her, had my hands a mess. Luke, I was in Ocean City, Maryland over the weekend at this crab feast at Maryland County's. I'm out at the convention center, bands playing songs, good times, Oriole hats everywhere. But more than that, when you go to Ocean City, third week of August, there's Eagles this and Commanders that and Steelers this and Ravens that. And then there's, oh yeah, there's preseason football on. And we were subjected to that on Sunday night. We can go back and forth about Kyler Murray and Hollywood Brown and Lamar Jackson and Mark Ant. None of those guys played. But obviously seeing the workout of younger players and to try to find stories that aren't Bobby Rainey, Isaiah Likely has stepped up. And obviously there was an injury in the fourth quarter as well, late in the game, that will define the game. And the 22nd win in a row for John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens. How about that, huh?
Yeah, 22 in a row. It's kind of amazing. And it was funny to hear Fox talk it up. And of course, Fox is going to talk this up because of what you just said. There is no Lamar Jackson playing and Kyler Murray's not playing. And go down the list. I mean, I think the Ravens, the first week, all but three projected starters sat out. This week, it was all but four. So, a couple extra guys played that didn't play in the preseason opener, but it was so amusing to me to hear Fox talking up how important the Ravens felt the preseason winning streak was, yet they're not playing their starters. So it's not really the case. And I get it. They're trying to create a narrative here. And it's interesting. It's a weird streak. We've talked about this for years now, but what we saw on Sunday night was really what the streak has been about. The Ravens' backups have consistently been better than their opponents' backups over this six-year streak that we've been talking about now.
I would say they're well-coached, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a compliment to the coaching staff. It's really a compliment to the front office because I've said this over and over. I don't know how much it translates because the reality is over this preseason winning streak, they've won one playoff game. So I don't want to say that it's this overly meaningful thing, but it does show that they've had an uncanny ability to not just build a 53-man roster that we think about in the regular season, but to build out a 90-man roster. And I think if you really look at these preseason games, and I think, Cardinals, two late touchdowns aside, poke some holes in this, but the overall theme for me has been not just the backups, but when you get into the third and fourth string guys that are playing in the second half, the Ravens' third and fourth string guys have been not just superior, but extremely superior to what other teams have fielded. So they've had much better 90-man rosters as well. So,
well, these games have changed a lot in the last 5 years, too, to where the point where there are no starters, there's nothing to evaluate in most of these games across the league. So whatever these weird things are, as bad as the preseason always was, which is, are our first team going to start a quarter against their third team offense? Who's going to come in at halftime? Man, all that's out the window. This is just utter trash. I mean, really, it's devolved into completely being meaningless to judge what's going to happen on September 8th or 11th or whenever you begin your season.
Well, meaningless in the whole team sense. I don't think it's meaningless for individual play. I think that's why you look at someone like Isaiah Likely, who, this isn't Bobby Rainey. I mean, it's just not. Bobby Rainey flashed a couple times in the preseason enough to say, hey, that's a pretty good story. This is a kid who, from the first day of OTAs, has stood out in a way that was impressive for a rookie. And it
in a
continued.
Way that maybe Mark Andrews did when he was a late, you know, wasn't
Mark Andrews
rusher.
Mark Andrews did not stand out. In fact, that's one of my big stories that I always tell. I think back to, you mentioned a Bobby Rainey, a guy that was of a similar era to Mark Andrews was Miles Boykin, who had a really strong first week of training camp to the point that Willie Snead compared him to Michael Thomas, who he had played with, of course, down in New Orleans. Well, we know Miles Boykin didn't turn out to be Michael Thomas, right? I mean, I think that's making a safe assumption without getting too far into the details of his career with the Ravens. But in the case of Mark Andrews, as you mentioned, Mark Andrews was very, anyone who was out there watching training camp, him as a rookie, he was very underwhelming. He didn't look healthy. He was a little banged up.
Well, he also came in when Hurst came in too, right?
Sure. But
so there was
but
a snap issue, right?
Right. But it, but that wasn't really what I was talking about. It's just when he was out on the field, he didn't look like the guy that would become an all-pro and one of the very best tight ends in football. So the point is, yeah, there's only so much you can take this time of year. And that's why you don't overreact anything. But in the case of Isaiah Likely, you just keep looking at. He's making plays, started in OTAs, continued in minicamp, started in the early portion of training camp, has continued day in and day out, makes plays, and you go to the Ravens social and you see it. He's often involved when they do a play of the day or two from Owings Mills during training camp. And, oh, yeah, he's put up numbers in each of the first two preseason games. Now, doesn't mean I'm fitting him for a gold jacket for the Hall of Fame just yet. Let's be clear about that. That, yeah, he's going to have to carry that over. But if you're watching him play, even if it is against the backups, and this is one thing that I talk about a lot when you're talking about preseason, even young guys, rookies, right? If you're talking about backups playing, if they're worth their salt, they should stand out, right? It shouldn't just be, oh, well, he makes a couple plays here and there. But he had 8 catches on 8 targets for 100 yards and a touchdown on Sunday night. I mean, gaining yards after the catch, making plays. We saw him make a couple plays where he left his feet in the preseason opener, a leaping catch. So he's done that in practice. Every forum that we've seen him to this point, he's checked the box. So that's where I do look at him. And the win itself, 24-17, big whoop. But it's the individuals that stand out over the course of that ball game, specifically in the first half. When it's second half, when then third string, fourth string, guys that really aren't getting a ton of reps even in practice, that's where I look at that and I'm much less moved. But when you see Isaiah Likely do what he did, all of that in the first half, mind you, it's pretty impressive. And that's when you do think about the possibilities of, all right, yeah, he's not going to be their tight end one, but we also know how the Ravens like to play football. 3 years ago when they were 14-2 and breaking all these records offensively, we know that they loved having the three-headed monster at tight end. And after they had traded Hayden Hurst, they were kind of chasing that and trying to find that second receiving-minded tight end. And Isaiah Likely looks like he has a great chance to be that. And it's not to say that he's going to put up monster numbers right away, but it's pretty exciting to think that you now have this kind of a potential option behind Mark Andrews, knowing how fantastic Mark Andrews is, to think that he has an understudy that has done what Likely has done over these, not just these preseason games, but all summer and all spring. That's exciting. That's way more important than, the Ravens won their 22nd preseason game in a row. So that's where you look at this thing. You're looking for those individuals to stand out. And, I'd be remiss. Let's give Tyler Huntley some credit as well. Knowing that your backup quarterback, you might need him to be pressed into duty, as we saw at the end of last year. He's had a really strong summer, as you would hope, after he played at the end of last year. So those two, they really stood out. I mean, there are other guys we can talk about and certainly some other Ravens players who played well in, as you mentioned, a preseason game that wasn't all that terribly compelling in a big picture sense, but nice to see some of those individuals shine. And in the case of Likely, again, someone who I think is going to have a chance to play and he's going to play right away and he's going to have a chance to be a part of this offense. I mean, Mark Andrews has said as much. Lamar Jackson has said as much. So they're paying attention to what this kid's doing, and to see him do what he did again on Sunday night was pretty impressive.
Our Luke Jones joins us. He is Baltimore Luke. You want to follow him out on the social media trail from Oriole Park to Williamsport to Glendale, Arizona, and back into Towson in Baltimore. I would say this for the likely thing. I only think about this in regard to how would they use him, right? Like, had Hayden Hurst been what they wanted, they wouldn't have Dobbins, the trades they make, all of those type of things. But how are they going to institute this? How are they going to use this? And, you know, Nick Boyle was playing, Ricard's playing. They've got a lot of options, and we haven't seen Dobbins. We haven't seen the Gus Bus. We haven't seen Andrews. Lord knows the wide receivers, you know, we've talked about to where blue in the face, but who are the 11 guys on the field? Who can those four or five H-backs, running backs, tight ends, one wide receiver set, no wide receiver set? I don't know what they would go with, but they have a lot of options if likely is as useful and more useful than tight end two, who only gets into 8 snaps or 12 snaps during a game. Are they going to use him because he's played his way into that in a way that, and look, regular people other than you special media folks haven't really seen Lamar Jackson throw him a pass, right? Like, I mean, we've seen him run around in these preseason games and hearing you report on it, but seeing how this would be used is the interesting part for me for what Greg Roman could be thinking with this.
Yeah, and this is where you kind of look into what Isaiah Likely really is. I mean, coming out of Coastal Carolina, I mean, this is a guy who doesn't have tremendous size as a tight end. If you watch his tape at the collegiate level, he played much more like a wide receiver. He's kind of a wide receiver in a tight end's body, probably Waller. Would be the best. Yeah. Or Mark Andrews to a degree. I mean, let's face it. Go back and look at Mark Andrews coming out of Oklahoma. His scouting report was basically wide receiver trapped in a tight end's body. Doesn't block particularly well. Isn't going to line up as an inline tight end much. He's going to be in the slot. So that's where you really look at this thing with his ability to line up in the slot, with Mark Andrews' ability to line up in the slot. You know, I think there's a natural thought to say, okay, they can run a lot of 12 personnel. And you know, he's not going to, let's be clear, I'm not saying he's going to play 65 snaps a game. But I think when you go 12 personnel and you have two receivers on the field, one running back, you know, especially on third down situations where you're going to be much more likely to pass.
I was going to say in 2019, they were never in third down, right? So, yeah. You know, like how you affect this is down and distance based sure. In so many cases, right? Like when first down fails, things for this offense get bad. You know, I mean, down and distance is an issue, right? For him to, or anybody else to get on the field that what 11's going to be out there.
Sure. I mean, and that's always going to be part of it. And yes, you want to be efficient. And as I always, you know, as I've really come to say over the last few years, going back to that team, the best third down offenses are the ones that avoid third down. The best offenses avoid third down altogether. So, but you know, you're going to be in third downs. I mean, that team was in third down. And when you are in a situation where it's third and four, let's say not third and long, but third and four, boy, you have some options there where you can go with 12 personnel and, you know, look heavier on paper. But if you have Likely and Andrews, who, you know, Andrews has become a much better blocker, but you don't think of him in the same way as Nick Boyle and Patrick Ricard, it does put you in a position where, yeah, it's not going to be a traditional four wide receiver set in the way that you think of that, in the way that the Cardinals line up, quite frankly, because they do more 10 personnel than anyone else, where you have one running back, no tight end, and four wide receivers. The Ravens aren't going to line up that way very often, but if Andrews and Likely are on the field at the same time, and then they're all, you know, you have Rashad Bateman and Duvernay or James Prochet or whoever's out there, that's going to feel more like a four wide set than any other team sending two tight ends out there because of what we're seeing from these guys. So I think they can get plenty of use out of Likely. Again, temper expectations to the point where it's easy to be really excited about him. And it's fair to be excited about him. I mean, people around the league are talking about him, seeing what he's done in these preseason games, but knowing that you still do have Mark Andrews, right? I mean, you know, so this kid's not going to be out there every snap, like I said. But I think there's going to be some opportunities for him. And we know Lamar Jackson loves throwing the tight ends. I mean, that there's, say what you want about Lamar's game, debate this part of it or that part of it, but he's been very successful throwing to his tight ends. And so you give him another weapon in that portion of the field, it's just going to make it that much more difficult for opposing defenses who have been trying to figure out how to clamp down Mark Andrews and haven't done it a very good job of it. And now you throw this kid into the mix, potentially. I think it's pretty exciting in that way. So going to be fun to see how that evolves. I still think of this offense, this passing game, in a big picture sense. I still have that question about who's going to stretch the field outside the numbers, because they Marquise Brown was that guy for them, and that loosened up the middle of the field. So that's still a concern of mine, but certainly having Isaiah Likely in the mix here as far as the potential that he's shown. And now the big question, can he carry it over to the regular season? He's carried it over at every step to this point. So that's a good sign. But boy, you see what he did on Sunday night. Even against backups, he's still standing out and looked like one of the very best players in the field, which pretty impressive for a fourth round rookie. There's no question about that.
All right, Ravens win again, and we'll get to some Orioles conversation with Luke Jones as well, as they are extremely relevant and very much independent race. So for the guys we saw on the field, right? Like I have my roster out, right? I'm trying to figure out who's wearing what number, and Stevens is hitting the guy in the head out of bounds, you know, on the first play of the game. And I'm like, is that 21 or is that 25? And who's 44 and who's who? Owa playing a lot was obvious. The shuffling on the offensive line and what they're trying to do in there with the guys they do have playing, that's there. I mean, the running back thing, you can't tell anything, but you try to look and say, who's Harbaugh playing in Arizona in the second game, and why is he in there, and what are they trying to accomplish other than they need live bodies, right? Only a handful of guys played. Let's talk about the guys who did play, who are not Isaiah Likely, guys who are really likely to be in the 22 or 28 that would be amongst the starters on both sides of the ball, who played a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a few guys. I mean, Patrick Ricard played a little bit, not much. You know, and certainly they had Ben Mason, who they drafted last year, who is much better than he looked last year. But there's no path to a 53-man roster spot for a second fullback. So probably see him on the practice squad. But we saw Ricard, albeit not very long. Only a couple projected starters that we saw on the defensive side of the ball. Madubuike played a little bit. He missed last week, I think. You know, he had migraines that he was dealing with. I think the plan was probably for him to play a little bit last week, so that's why you saw him out there anyway. And as you mentioned, Adafe Owe was out there. Too much for my liking, because this kid looks ready. I mean, he's at a fantastic camp. He is given Juwan James and Morgan Moses, two veteran offensive tackles who've been playing, you know, with the ones, because we're still waiting on Ronnie Stanley to get back on the practice field. But always been a handful for anyone he's lined up against. And he looks like he's ready to take that next step. And we saw him be very disruptive on Sunday night. So he was out there. I mean, they have plenty of guys on either side of the ball that are going to be in the mix. I mean, you have your 11 starters, but either side of the ball is going to play in any given game 17, 18 guys. I mean, somewhere in that neighborhood. So we saw some of that. But I think to answer your question, for me, what's most interesting is trying to figure out what the offensive line looks like, not in the sense of, you know, they didn't have Linderbaum out there at center. He seems close to working his way back from the foot. They sat out Zeitler, they sat out Morgan Moses, but I look at that left guard spot, and this is where not to read too much into the preseason, because people who aren't out there every day at practice, they're seeing Tyree Phillips start at left guard. They saw Ben Powers start at right guard, and they say, whoa, Tyree Phillips must be in the lead. That's not the read I get, because of how they practiced. It's been almost all Ben Powers at left guard. I think what we're seeing is they feel Ben Powers, and it's not a fait accompli. It's not done, you know, because we're still almost 3 weeks away from the start of the season. But I think they view him as the most likely going to be the starter at left guard, and they're trying to test out his versatility. They've had him taking some snaps at center. They had him start at right guard because Zeitler didn't play on Sunday night, just a coach's decision there. And the thing that really tipped me off that I'm not buying that Tyree Phillips is suddenly, you know, the favorite or something or anything like that, is they had Phillips play well into the second half, you know, and he was playing left tackle as well. If that were a closer battle, I feel like you wouldn't see that kind of a skewed playing time distribution where Phillips is playing so much. And Ben Powers didn't play as much. Now, we'll see. I've been wrong about these things before, but based on what we've seen in practice, I still think it's going to be Ben Powers at left guard, or at least that's where they're leaning right now. So maybe upon reviewing the tape, maybe Tyree Phillips has a fantastic night at left guard and maybe they changed their mind a little bit. But it's always interesting to see that, because anytime you have these competitions, who's playing where at the beginning of the game? But for me, it's really who's playing the longest. And that's where Tyree Phillips played a ton at left guard. And then they moved him out to left tackle in the second half of the game. So that to me feels like if he's the guy that you're thinking is going to be your starter, do you really want him out there playing that deep into the second half? So that's where, you know, just trying to read the tea leaves. And that's, believe me, the Ravens aren't broadcasting their plans to me as far as who's going to start there. I'm just going off of what I've seen in practice. And I caution everyone, and this is why I am so excited about Isaiah Likely, mind you. The preseason games are still just snapshots, right? I mean, the games are what the fans see, so that's where they put a little more stock in that. And that's not to say the games aren't important, but it's still that day-to-day, what are you doing in practice on the backfields in Owings Mills every single day? If you're that guy that's not really doing a whole lot in practice, but then you show up in a game and you make a play or two, but then you go back to not really standing out in practice again, a lot of times the coaches say, well, you know, why is that? Why aren't you more consistent? More so than fans just seeing, you know, someone like Shamar Bridges, who, you know, had the really good story in week one of the preseason, but didn't really follow it up with doing a whole lot in practice. So, you know, that to me was, you know, a little disappointing in that way. So it's still the day to day. What are you doing every single day as part of the evaluation process? And so that's why I don't put too much stock into what we see in terms of starting line, or the offensive line combinations and things of that nature. So, you know, that's where we're looking at with the offensive line. Left guard is still the one position that's up for question. If we're assuming Ronnie Stanley's going to be ready for week one, and he better be back on the practice field at this point, you know, this week, or those questions are renewed a little bit. But yeah, I mean, as far as anything to take away,
isn't that the story though this week in general, right? If guys aren't coming back this week, you have to say, yeah, September. I mean, 11th, this is, come on now. It's August 25th, 28th, September 1st. If you haven't shown up for the, they're not putting you in against the Jets, right?
Right. And that's where we're looking at this thing right now. I mean, to this point, and this is where it's nice to give us a little update. J.K. Dobbins did not play on Sunday night as expected. But he's now been ramping it up for a couple weeks now. Still got work to do. I'm still a little concerned about what he's going to look like early in the season. Not that I'm saying he won't be ready for week one, but is he really going to be J.K. Dobbins? In the same way that in 2002, we were asking, is Jamal Lewis again, or is he still working his way
Joe
back?
How about Joe Flacco in 2016 after a knee? We're going to be asking that about Peters, Humphrey, all these, right. Lamar, all these guys, right?
Well, I mean, Lamar's
been fine.
Yeah. Lamar and Marlon Humphrey was a torn pack. I mean, when you're talking about something that's, you know, if it's knee, Achilles, you know, anything leg-related.
That has shown you on the field since July 28th that those two guys aren't 100% raring to go. The rest of these guys, we have questions about.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Dobbins and running back specifically, and you mentioned Marcus Peters. Corner is another position where you talk about that lateral movement, that change of direction that's a little bit different than Joe Flacco, right? I mean, you know, when you're talking about a quarterback who's not going to be running around. So, you know, those injuries are not created equal to certain positions. I mean, it can be tough in that way. But, you know, Dobbins, you know, we'll see. You know, he continues to ramp up his practice activity. Marcus Peters in his first week back looked pretty good. My indications I'd gathered at the beginning of camp was he probably could have been out there for the first week of training camp, but it's Marcus Peters. Yeah, he doesn't need as much practice time as a first or second year corner who's trying to learn how to play in the NFL. So he appears to be perfectly on track. I think the big questions now, as you mentioned, you look at Stanley, and to me, Tyus Bowser, you know, he should be getting back on the practice field soon if he's going to be ready for week one. So Gus Edwards not going to be ready for week one. And we've kind of known that since the beginning of training camp. I mean, the Ravens flat out put it out there that he was questionable week one in late July. If you're saying that, you know how the Ravens are with these things. If they're saying that in late July, he's not going to be ready and probably not going to be ready the first few weeks of the season at the very least, I would say. So with him, we know David Ajabo is more of a mid-season kind of thing, the rookie out of Michigan. We knew that all along. That's why he was a second-round pick as opposed to a first. So, you know, those guys, nothing imminent, but yeah, we should be seeing Ronnie Stanley back on the practice field here in days. By the time someone's listening to our conversation, perhaps he's already returned. So with him and same with Tyus Bowser, and everything I've heard about Tyus Bowser was Achilles recovery going well too. So, you know, there's still that doubt. There's still that unknown until these guys get out there and you see what they look like. As I always say, there's a difference between healthy enough to play and healthy enough to thrive and be the guy that you were before the injury. But that's really what we're looking at right now. It's kind of those, you know, Dobbins, Peters, Stanley, and Tyus Bowser. You know, those are kind of the guys right now that we're really watching the most closely. And you know, we'll see how it looks. And they still have some time here, but not a whole lot of time. So certainly you want to see them back on the field and ramping up their activity level.
Well, listening to our Fox friends and, you know, Glazer talking about Lamar, they're not going to sign him. I'm wondering if Lamar is going to play. That's going to be, I mean, I'm going to say that out loud, continue to see where they're going to go on September 11th if he's not signed, and the uncomfortableness of that, because that is a very, very uncomfortable situation for everybody. It'll be that way the whole season long. Luke's on it. The Commanders are next up as we continue the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Luke and I are going to do a little baseball conversation as well. I'm wearing my Chicken Palooza shirt. Chicken Palooza rounding out here this week. I think I've had about 6 Chicken Palooza boxes since the beginning, including several over on the Eastern Shore in Queenstown. Chicken tastes better on the Eastern Shore. Lots of Eastern Shore conversations around here. Ben Cardin joined us. Heather Mazier joined us, the mayor of Ocean City. Rick Meehan joined us. Also, Carl Anderton and the mayor of Salisbury, Jake Day. Lots and lots of great conversations, many of them including sports and Steve Bisciotti and Jim Irsay stories. You'll want to be listening all week long. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.